Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve, and I've got the privilege of sharing with you from God's Word this morning on this Easter Sunday. Now, Fletcher was telling us on Friday about Good Friday, and he described it as wonderful, marvelous, amazing Friday because Jesus died on the cross for each one of us. Well, now we come together to celebrate an even better Sunday. This is what we're here to celebrate, that Jesus didn't just stay buried in the tomb, he was rose again. Excuse me. This is the most significant event in history. The empty tomb. The Father gives a thumbs up to Jesus and says, "This is okay. Jesus' sacrifice is acceptable. His sacrifice is the Holy One who's given up for humankind. Jesus Christ rose again from the grave on that first Easter Sunday, beating death and opening up a new way for each one of us to have a relationship with him." So today we're going to be looking at some of the choices that were made as he led up to the cross and he brought honor to his heavenly Father. The Bible reading that Joel read was Jesus's prayer, an intimate prayer with his Father, and it reveals his plans and his choices to fulfill those plans. In John 17, it says, "You've given me authority over everyone. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." Jesus goes on and said, "I brought glory to you by completing the work you gave me to do. I chose to do the work and fulfill it to the letter." And then his prayer is for us. "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth." Let's just bow and pray as we commit this message to him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, help us to be teachable and give our hearts, help us to be have teachable hearts, and to, as we look to the truth of your word this morning, I pray that you might reveal yourself to each one of us. Thank you. Right. Jesus chose to go all the way to the cross for you and for me. He wants us to make a choice too, to get to know him. He wants us to say, "You know, I've heard about this Jesus, but I need to know more. I need to find out how he operates, what he does in life." All through Jesus's life, he knew what was ahead of him, where he was going, and the choices that he was going to make. He knew his purpose. He knew the reason for existing, and Jesus was very intentional about his life mission. He was focused and he settled his mind on what God wanted to do. You could say he was hell-bent on restoring relationships between God and the people he created. He thought you were worth going to the cross for, and that's what motivated him to make the choices that he did. You know, Jesus, on many occasions, told the disciples what he was planning to do, where he was going. At least three times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, It says that Jesus warned the disciples that he'd be mocked, that he'd be beaten, and he'd suffer rejection from the religious leaders. And he'd be crucified and raised again. And yet, he still kept moving forward. He set his face towards Jerusalem. In John 13, it starts off the Last Supper by Jesus saying he knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He'd loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. And then he got down on his hands and knees, put a cloak around him, and he served his disciples by washing their feet. The choice Jesus made was not a reaction to circumstances, but it was part of a deliberate plan by God to restore relationships with you and with me. Do you ever think back to mistakes you've made? You can say, I sometimes reminisce and think back, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or I shouldn't have said those words. And sometimes even as words are coming out of my mouth, I try and grab them back and try and pull them back. But there's no way that I can pull them back. Here's a dad who decided to get in with his kids at the playground, and he made a bad choice. I've got no idea how he got out of that one. It'd be very interesting. Or the parents who wanted to encourage their children to serve and set the table, and they didn't realize that the kid would open the lid and spill maple syrup all over the kitchen floor. There are things, choices that we make, decisions that we make, that have consequences. And we all look back and have regretful decisions that we've made in the past. Whether it's not using sunscreen when you were a teenager, and now it's coming back to bite me, and I'm getting things burnt and cut and things all over the place. Our decisions have impact and consequences on our lives. Do you remember last year we had the Taste and See testimonies? Or for those who weren't here, we got people to share their stories of how God met them where they were. And it was powerful and real. And God met them where they were and transformed them into the person that he wanted them to be. And we're all works in progress with the decisions that we make. But having God on our side makes such a huge difference. Have you ever considered that each one of us here are just a few seconds away from making a choice that could radically change our lives and impact how we live the rest of our lives? The reason being the choices that we make. When God made the world, he made humans as well. He gave us the job of enjoying and caring for what he made. But humanity, being humans as we are, we made choices that hurt us. The choices hurt other people, and the choices hurt the world as well. These choices are what the Bible calls sin, separated from God, from our perfect Heavenly Father. And it limited our ability to do the job that God gave us to do. God has freely given us a free will to choose how we live. God has a free will policy. Isn't that good to know? We are free to do what we like. The only thing is we have to live with the consequences of our choices. God doesn't twist our arm behind our back or lead us, push us into a way. He's not a sheepdog. He's a shepherd that leads from the front. Mary's response, this morning, that we saw here this morning, was based on relationships, the relationship that she had with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was impacting her life. The fact that they went to the tomb and wanted to honor the Lord Jesus in death, and God honored them in their decisions and their choices. They were the first ones to see the empty tomb. What a privilege. God doesn't want us to, didn't design us to be robots or have manufactured responses to what he wants us to do. Or he doesn't want us to have a showy, rote relationship that we just repeat day in and day out. He wants a real, intimate and genuine, authentic relationship where, yeah, we do stuff up from time to time, but that's what happens in relationships, right? We aren't perfect, but we're committed to working together and moving forward. God doesn't force anyone to have a relationship with him, but he does want us to choose him. He's revealed himself to us. Jesus chose the cross for me. He wants to be known. He's made himself knowable. God raised him to life again so that we could experience a relationship with him. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life, if only we choose him." Let's just bow our heads and pray. We'll sing a song and then get back to it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for his stubborn resolve to go all the way to the cross on our behalf. Jesus could have opted out at any time on that journey, but I praise God for raising Jesus to new life again and giving us hope and a future and a relationship with you. Have you heard about the 5-second rule? It's not the 5-second rule. If you drop food on the floor, you've got 5 seconds to pick it up and it's still clean. No, not that 5-second rule. It's when you have a decision or a choice, you've got a choice as to how you're going to act within the next 5 seconds. So the 5-second rule is just, if you count backwards from five, by the time you reach one, you go and do the thing that you decided to do. So a practical example of that is when the alarm goes off in the morning, how many people just roll over or hit the snooze button? And very good, Alison. Yes, and Tim. It's so easy to do. Well, they recommend the 5-second rule for this. And you count backwards from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you get up and start moving. The reason is you don't give your brain a chance to think about all the things you could do if you just stayed in bed a few minutes longer. You just get up and get moving. When you've got a work task to do that's really hard and difficult, you count down from 5 and then you get into that writing of the essay or the assignment. Getting that first sentence down on the assignment is the hardest one to get down. And if you could just use the 5-second rule, that might help you. Or if you've got a fitness regime that you go through and you go for a jog in the morning. This doesn't apply to me because I'm allergic to fitness, because I go red in the face and I start sweating and my breathing, it goes really quick, you know, so I've put that aside. But you can use the 5-second rule if you want to have an exercise regime and you can get motivated, get out that door and start working. Sometimes our first reactions are a result of years of choices and experiences that we've learned over our lifetimes. And we've looked at the choices that Jesus has made throughout his life. And he knew that he was going to suffer, and he knew what he had to endure. And his attitude was, God, not my will, but yours be done. And so he kept moving. He didn't opt out of the decisions and choices that he had to make at any time. Even when he went into the trial, he could have backtracked any time. But we're going to look at some other choices that were made. While Jesus was going through his trial, there were other trials going on as well. Peter and Judas were experiencing their own trial. Now, let's look at Peter and Judas and what they came up against. Peter, remember, Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him three times and then the rooster would crow. Well, Peter denied that at the time, said, no way, no way, I'm not going to do that, go there or be involved in that. But Peter, when he was watching the Lord Jesus getting cross-examined inside, he was out with the workers, with the tradesmen, standing around the fire. And he experienced a trial from his peers, a trial, a judgment. What is a trial? A trial is a test to see what is the truth of any matter. And so he was outside warming himself, and people came up, three people came up. Aren't you the one that hung out with Jesus? No, no, it wasn't me. No, I didn't do that. So you have a Galilean accent, don't you? You hung out with him. No, no, and no, I didn't. And he went on and said, yes, you were with Jesus when he performed that miracle. No, I wasn't. And he started swearing as though that would add weight to his argument. And he just was beaten. And when the rooster crowed, the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter in the eye. And you could imagine how Peter felt the regrets of the choices that he made at that time. Peter would have looked back at that event as a huge, regretful choice. And then there's Judas. I don't know how much money you make in a month, but if you've got a figure in your mind, a month's wages, that's what Judas traded Jesus in for. A month's wages. Isn't that sad? Judas experienced a trial where he condemned himself. He was self-condemning. Now, Judas was motivated by money and security, wealth and possessions. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, Judas followed Jesus all around. He would have listened to the Sermon on the Mount, that what we've been listening to at church. Didn't mean a thing, didn't scratch or make an indent in his heart at all. He had no idea about kingdom living. He might have been able to repeat what Jesus said, but it meant nothing. It was all in his head and not in his heart. And so he was self-condemned. He knew the truth, but he couldn't accept that Jesus was the Son of God. He was full of regret. He regretted that he condemned an innocent man to go through what he did. He saw no hope. He betrayed what he thought in his mind was a friend, but he was not really a friend. There was no chance that Judas could see of restoring or redeeming what was done. He couldn't pull back. He traded him for 30 silvers of pieces of coin, and he betrayed one of his closest friends, one of the people that he committed the last 3 years of his life to following around. And so he went to the temple and he threw the 30 pieces of silver in front of the religious leaders. He said, "I don't want any part of this." And he went out and he took his own life. Choices, we all had them. If only Judas had turned to Jesus and asked him for forgiveness and wanted to restore the relationship that was so broken, if only. Peter was different. Peter made a different choice. Peter chose to head towards Jesus and to hang out with him and see if something could be done. And from my experience, it's never too late to choose God's best for your life. And so Peter chose, even though he was kicking himself so many times, Jesus chose to turn to Jesus. And Jesus forgave him and restored him and empowered him. Jesus said, "Do you love me?" 3 times. And said, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Choose to do my work that I've given you to choose." And Peter wrote these words: "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live and choose for what is right. By Jesus' wounds, you are healed." You know, from Peter's failure, he denied Jesus 3 times to 3 individual people, and he did that in his own strength. But you should read what happened to him when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said these words: "This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God, set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him." And then he went on to say, "Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, and he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact." Over 3,000 people decided to follow the Lord Jesus on that day. Isn't that amazing? He was Holy Spirit empowered, and God used him in such a way. You know, when he was empowered by himself, he denied Jesus 3 times to 3 individual people. But with God, 3,000 people came to know him that day. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus promised an advocate, a counselor, someone who would strengthen and empower and support us in our lives. I've got an illustration. I've never done it before, but I hope it'll work this morning. Right. We've got my way and the decisions that we make in our lives. And I've got a jar. This represents your life. This is going to annoy me. Well, this will fix it. Ha. Good choice, Steve. Right. Okay. This is our life. And the fact that we're preconditioned to choose to live life our way, aren't we? Where we've got this free will and we're going to use it. And so whenever a decision comes up, we think, how is this going to best serve me? Now, the thing is, we've got God in the picture as well. But we're preconditioned to go my way, to make choices that suit me. Some people might say my way or God's way. Some people might say God's way is a good choice to make and my way is the bad choice. But that's not a good way of using the illustration, because there's a lot of good people here. There's a lot of good people who make good decisions day to day. And we might slip up from time to time, but generally we make good decisions and we look after our neighbours and the people around about us. We're good community members. But like Peter, sometimes we just stuff up so bad and make something that just doesn't work. So we could say good and bad. We could say right way of living, but wrong way. But again, people don't always make wrong decisions. We could say serve God or serve myself. Maybe that's a better illustration. Maybe we're all selfish, self-serving. And even in the good choices that we make, there's always a way, will I look good doing this? Will I get my piece of the pie that makes me feel good about myself? And so we do have this preconceived idea that when we go my way, we're being selfish. Now, I've got electrics all around me and I've got water here. Now, this represents the Holy Spirit. Now, if my hair stands on end, it's because I'm being electrocuted. Okay, let's see what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And it gives us options that we never had before. Because, I don't know if you can, there's bits in that water. Can you see the difference? The arrow's not pointing to my way anymore, but it's pointing to God's way. I've got a choice now. Can you see that, Gary, over there? Yeah, okay. Now, I don't want a scientific explanation, Jono. Hopefully you can see that the arrow is pointing to God's way. And we've got options now. Now, remember God's free will policy. We can still choose at any time to do it God's my way, my selfish way. But God has given us a new way, a new option, a new way of looking at life. And the choice is ours. Do we choose God's way or do we choose my way? The Bible describes this as, do you choose life and life to the full, or do you choose self-serving death? And that's how the Bible describes it. And Moses, before the children of Israel went into the promised land, he said, I put before you a choice. Do you want to have life with God, or do you want to serve yourself, or life without God, which is separate from God? Now, Peter and Judas had the same choices that we make every day. Peter wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. He still made bad choices. And later on in the New Testament, if you read, he gets pulled up a few times for making bad choices. But he's got God in his life, and he knows that when he lives life God's way, that he's empowered to live life to the full. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin, dead to my old way of living, and alive to Christ. Okay. Another one of the writers, Paul, a New Testament writer. Paul said this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but the Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Do you know what? I love that version, and that's my favorite verse. But I like the Message version of this. It says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to try to impress God, because I can't do that. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I'm not going to go back on that." Jesus Christ promised an advocate, a counselor, God the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to encourage us and support us and help us to make the right choices at just the right time. How would it look if we all chose to go God's way? And that's what we try and do at Kings Park Community Church. We all try to say, what does God say about our situation? What does God want us to do from this point on? How is God going to influence this situation? What's God going to pull out of his hat to solve this problem? And we can have confidence that when we travel God's way, we're on the right path. No matter what the circumstances, we can go God's way and live life to the full. Sure, we'll still make bad decisions. We'll still have broken relationships or relationships that will need to be mended and sorted. We'll all make bad choices from time to time, but we'll fall forward with God beside us. And we want to encourage each other to go God's way, no matter what our circumstances. We're going to sing our last song now, but it's been great worshiping with you this morning. And I've appreciated looking at God's word and the choices that he's given each one of us. God bless.